is a place where you can get it all trending.
Who are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report a discrimination.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue like this.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
In our headlines, Oshiwanjo met 36 state deputy governors today. NPHCDO tells governors to enforce compulsory vaccination for local government state workers. Kaduna government directs public schools to migrate to four-day working week. At least 19 killed in apartment block blaze in New York. Stay tuned for details of the stories and more.
Not play politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected.
To everyone.
Let's talk
on the Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
Nigeria Info.
Your health is a priceless asset. Maintain high personal and environmental hygiene. Good morning. My name is Bivan Magoni with the news in detail. As part of activities commemorating the 2022 Armed Forces Remembrance Day, Vice President Yemi Osinbajo on Sunday called on Nigerians to take a stand and challenge evil as a mark of honor for the fallen heroes. The Vice President gave the charge while speaking at the interdenominational church service held at National Christian Center, Abuja. Osinbajo, represented by the Secretary to the Government of the Federation, Boss Mustafa, extolled the sacrificial courage of the men who laid down their lives to protect the territorial integrity of the nation. He said the current administration prioritizes the welfare of officers and men of the Nigerian Armed Forces. On his part, the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky Rabu, who commended the federal government's commitment to the welfare of troops on the battlefield, expressed optimism that as the economy is picking up, more will be done to step up their welfare. Vice President Yemi Osinbajo will later today meet with deputy governors of the 36 states of the Federation. The agenda of the meeting, which will hold at the banquet hall of the Presidential Villa Abuja, was not made public. We will bring you details of the meeting in subsequent bulletins. Meanwhile, the federal government has urged state governments to step up mass vaccination against COVID-19 as part of moves to combat the virus. The National Primary Health Care Development Agency, in its latest advisory report, also urged state governors to enact and enforce vaccination mandates for local and state government workers. This came to fore as the percentage for fully vaccinated Nigerians stalled at 4.2%, while those that had taken their first dose remain grounded at 9.8% as of Sunday, January 9, 2021. The NCDC, in its daily update, 2022, I beg your pardon, the NCDC in its daily update continued to report increase in the number of fatalities, reporting no fewer than 38 deaths between January 1 and January 8. It said despite the increasing number of cases and deaths, some states have not vaccinated up to 200,000 individuals, while Abia, Kogi and Niger State have not commenced administration of booster shots. Our schools reopened today for the second term of the 2021-22 academic session. The Kaduna State Government has directed all public schools in the state to migrate to the four-day working week. The directive was contained in a notice for school resumption for the second term of the 2021-22 academic session by the Commissioner of Education, Halim Malao, in Kaduna State on Sunday. Recall that the state government had on December 1, 2022 begun transition to a four-day working week. A statement by Muyiwa Adeke, media advisor to Governor Asiri Rufai, explained that the new measure will eventually affect the organized private sector in the state. According to the statement, the measure is designed to help boost productivity, improve work-life balance, and enable workers to have more time for their families, for rest, and for agriculture. The Kogi state government has banned tricycle and motorcyclists from operating on the highways. It has also constituted mobile courts to prosecute defaulters of the new order expected to take effect on January 17. The government, in a communique by its Commissioner for Transportation, Baron Joseph Okwali, said a restriction order must be obeyed. Similarly, the government directed articulated vehicles operating within the state to observe minimal speed limits within residential areas. It enjoined motorists within the state to also validate their vehicle papers to avoid arrests and fines. Kogi-based journalist Glory Torere, in a telephone conversation with correspondent Abayomi Akimbola, said the ban was long overdue following a recurring loss of life on the highways.
It is bad and long awaited because of the nature of Kogi. Kogi is a state that is bounded in about over 10 states, and a lot of vehicles pass through this state. We have highways in this state, and we witness a lot of accidents on our highway. And you see this road between Kogi and Ajaokuta, it's one of the roads that these keke are really flying. And I tell you, and especially that of Lokoja, when going to Koto, sometimes you go to some villages, you see along the highway, you see keke. And you know keke is just three legs. Going on a highway where you see trailers and passing and all that vehicles, you are trying to compete with them. And most of the time, it will result to accidents.
Commenting on its socioeconomic effect on the people of Kogi State, Torere called on government and leadership of the road transport workers to get alternative people to people who use the services of tricycle and motorcycle operators.
Honestly speaking, it's not good for the care to be running on the highways. And so the authority is that the National Union of Road Transport Workers should try as much as possible to tell their members to be running the routes that the KK are running, that is making people along that route to have leverage of KK so that we will not feel the impact. Otherwise, the impact will be felt by those who are along that highway.
The senator representing Ekiti Central District, Senator Premi Bamidele, is hoping for the direct mode of primary election for his party, the All Progressives Congress, to select candidate for the Ekiti governorship election. Senator Bamidele, who is also an aspirant for the contest direct primary, is aware of ensuring participatory democracy, which makes it possible for every card-carrying member of the party to participate in the decision-making process and for the most popular aspirant to emerge. The lawmaker stated this over the weekend after submitting his expression of interest and nomination forms at the APC National Secretariat in Abuja. He said the method of nomination also gives a lot of impetus to the rank and file members of the party, who feel proud that they were part of the decision-making process.
Don't push for a consensus unless it is coming from within and among the aspirants themselves. So the two other modes would then appear to be open, either the direct or the indirect mode of primary. If you ask me as an individual what is my preference, I would say any day I would prefer the direct mode of primaries, just because one, for me, it's a way of ensuring participatory democracy, which makes it possible for every card carrying member of the party to participate in the decision making process.
This is Nigeria Info. And now the business news.
Bringing our time to 7:09 and to the rest of the news. The budget office has revealed that the federal government recorded a revenue shortfall of 1.93 trillion naira in a period of 11 months. The budget office, in a document containing an overview of the 2021 budget implementation, said the federal government's aggregate revenue projection in the 2021 Appropriation Act and supplementary budget was 8.13 trillion naira. It said 7.4 trillion naira was the prorated budget for January to November 2021, but the government generated only 5.54 trillion naira in the period, resulting in a shortfall of 1.93 trillion naira. The government has a track record of failing to achieve its revenue projections as it grapples with revenue challenges. The Minister of Finance, Budget and National Planning, Zainab Ahmed, had on several occasions said the government had a revenue problem that it was working to to resolve.
And now we bring you news from around the world.
News from around the world.
Around the world.
West African leaders have imposed sanctions on Mali after the country's military government announced a long delay to elections originally planned for next month. The West African Regional Bloc, ECOWAS, which met in Accra on Sunday, agreed to close borders with Mali as well as implement a range of economic sanctions. In response to the sanctions, Mali's military government said it had decided to close its land and air borders with ECOWAS and was recalling its ambassadors from the member states. The junta, in a statement, said it strongly condemned illegal sanctions imposed on the country. Still on the foreign scene, a fire outbreak in a New York apartment building has left about 19 people, including 9 children, dead. New York Mayor Eric Adams said another 32 people were sent to the hospital, several of whom are in a critical condition. Fire Department Commissioner Daniel Negro said they had found victims on every floor of the 19-story block, saying the smoke was unprecedented. He said the death toll was the worst seen in New York for 30 years. Some 200 firefighters were sent to tackle the blaze, which officially believed was sparked by a malfunctioning electric heater. Commissioner Negro said there were 2 floors of fire, but the smoke has spread everywhere. It comes days after an apartment fire in Philadelphia killed 12 people, with 8 children among the dead.
Take it away with the entertainment news.
The U.S. comedian who delighted millions as the star of television Full House in the 1980s and 1990s, Bob Saget, was on Sunday found dead in a Florida hotel room. The local sheriff said earlier on Sunday, deputies were called to the Ritz-Carlton Orlando Grand Lakes for a call about an unresponsive man in a hotel room. He said the man was identified as Robert Saget and pronounced dead on scene. The sheriff said detectives found no signs of foul play or drug use in this case. Saget, who was 65, starred as Danny Turner, the widowed father of 3 girls, and his efforts to raise them, assisted by his brother-in-law Jesse and friend Joey, formed the heart of the popular Full House sitcom. Saget, who was also a popular host of America's Funniest Home Videos, had been touring the country recently.
And now, updates on the sports news.
And finally, to sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has announced at January 22 as date for the 2022 World Cup qualifiers playoffs draws. The draw will take place in Douala, Cameroon. There are still 10 teams in contention following the second round of the 2022 World Cup qualification. The 10 qualified teams will be divided into 2 levels based on the official FIFA ranking published in November 2021. The 5 highest-ranking teams, which are Senegal, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, and Nigeria, will play against the 5 least-ranked teams, Egypt, Cameroon, Ghana, Mali, and DR Congo, with the first leg to be played at the home of the lower-ranked teams. CAF also announced that the draws for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers will be done on January 1. And now to end the news and a look at our top stories. So Shibanjo meets 36 states' deputy governors today. NPHCD tells governors to enforce compulsory vaccination for LG state workers. Kaduna government directs public schools to migrate to 4-day working week. At least 19 killed in apartment block blaze in New York. That's the news on 95.1 iJoin, was edited by Abayomi Akimbola. Don't forget, you can always send us eyewitness report as news breaks in your area. Send your report to 090-285-1885. Follow us on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Abuja, Facebook at Nigeria Info Abuja, or visit our website www.nigerainfo.fm or visit Google Play Store and download the mobile app. My name is Bivan Magoni. Good morning and thank you for staying with us.
In the comfort of your home, on your way to work, in the midst of your daily activities, your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed. only on your number one for talk, 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
We must not play politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk.
Let's talk on the Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja. Abuja. The Current Affairs Show provides a new scope to the details of politics.
Actually participated in the governorship election.
Rollout, vaccination, in 4 days.
Let's stay away from the sides of the story and go deeper, deeper together. Let's talk weekdays at 8 a.m.
on 95.1 Nigeria Info Abuja. Let's talk.
The Current Affairs Show.
And we're back to the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show this very morning. It's 7:16 a.m. Nigerian time. We're keeping up with some of the big stories that are of interest across the papers for today. Southwest will lose 2023 if aspirants are not streamlined. Zamfara killings. No one should live in fear in home, says IIM. APC National Convention. PGF meeting suspended. Also of interest this morning, federal government ends 13.87 billion from electronic money transfer. Other stories you want to also follow through on. Stock market gains 1.33 trillion naira in the first trading week. Sadiku says, I was hounded by anti-reform elements for paying 5.8 billion naira to government. Oshibajo salutes armed forces' role in sustaining national unity. Other stories to follow through on this very morning. Zamfara killings. Article urges federal government to ramp up security as Farouk decries situation. Now, you also want to take a look at the stories from the likes of Tribune. 5 years after, Abuja airport closure, federal government fails to construct second runway. DSS invitation plot to silence Bishop Kuka, says Sopaku. And then you also do have 2 years after deadline, more than 50% of Nigerian private school teachers still unqualified. APC may adopt consensus ahead of February convention. How federal government spent 56.9 billion naira on women youths in 2021 fiscal year. Bandits release additional 30 students, teachers in Kebbi after 6 months. Man, 76 years old, fake security agent in NDLEA net over imported drug, chocolates, cookies, and others. Process to authenticate next Olubana continues tomorrow. Osun PDP crisis, Oyinlola Oyedokun, others weighed in. Let's follow through with other stories. Sanusi makes case for competency, merit as politicians revive zoning argument. Oshibajo in Ghana for ECOWAS summit. Miyahati Allah replies autumn over terrorism tag. We won't forget sacrifices of our armed forces, says Wike. Olubana, council to meet with kingmakers tomorrow. Senate traces defunct PSCN's hidden 14 billion naira in banks. Embassy crisis. Bunin to meet Gombe. Stakeholders over party structure. Other stories as well running through the papers. MD suspension. MPA panel mum after 8 months. 8 months after. Shareholders dividend as banks incur 211.63 AMCON charges. Goje Inua feud, episode to review Gombe Congress. Bashir Tofa on his life, politics, and Nigeria. That's in the last interview he granted. Inside PDP's 6 years battle in opposition. Other stories of interest, Nigeria's 18 trillion naira petroleum products export deficit worrisome. Food security, Nigeria to improve logistics capacity. All right, I'm going through so many stories, and I will go through many of them more as we continue on the show. This is Morning Crossfire right here on Nigeria Info 95.1. Let's keep up with you. That is just a quick review of some of the stories you're reacting to. Let's take your calls now on 0700-951-0000. Welcome back to the show.
This is Morning Crossfire.
Good morning to you. Thanks for joining in. Good morning. Yes, good morning to you. Okay, good morning. Are you there? No, it looks like we may have to move on. He's quite unsettled. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yes, good to have you on. What's your name?
All
right, let's talk. Your radio is on, Mike. Yes, I think it's much better now. That's something I even want to take on as part of our major conversation. Who gets invited and on what basis? I was reading a little bit of what Bishop Kuka might have said that might have ended the DSS invitation. It's from a message from Christmas. The title of his message from Christmas is what led to that. Let's take on another call. Good morning to you. All right, that didn't stay. So we'll move on and take another call this morning. Glad you connected with us. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Yes, good morning to you. Are you there? Oh dear, not so sure, not lucky enough to have stayed on. Good morning to you, welcome to the show. Yes, good morning to you. Hello? No, that's not staying true. Good morning to you. Night at the dot. Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning once again, Mr. Ben, this is Barry Daza.
Okay, let's hear you. Good morning, let's talk.
Cardinal Youth, I agree with Cardinal Youth when he said, contrary to what their governor said, carpet bombing is not the best solution with which to curb banditry. You see, I think what we should do as people, we have satellites in the sky, we should be able to pinpoint the locations of these bandits from the sky. Then, even with armed drones, drones don't just fly about. They can be armed as well. And the guns in them remotely controlled. I think I sent it to you also. And after the armed drones must have dealt with the bandits, wherever they are, special force will now enter the forest and finish the job. We all know what carpet bombing did in Vietnam. Destroy the foliage, destroy the led to deforestation and put people at this suffering. We all know what agents already did in Vietnam. Yes. So, and the deforestation is another route of security. We should not start another route of security. Thank you very much. God bless us.
Thank you so much as well. We'll go on the break in 10 seconds. But, I was reading through the extract. Did Bishop Kuka push a little bit further than he could? I'll read out what he said, a part of this message, as we go on the show today. And also, wait for it, coming up on the lead, listen to what the Zafra governor said to people in the hospital. This and more coming up on Morning Crossfire, right here on Nigeria Info. There's so much to listen to right here. I'll be back after now.
This is Morning Crossfire.
It's okay.
That is okay.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
Let me explain.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Off your mic, all over the listeners.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Let's talk.
And we're back to the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
Live on 95.1 with Femi D Live, Nigeria Info, Abuja. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Welcome back to the show. It's 7:28 a.m. Nigerian time. I'm Femi D. I'm Elin. There's really much to cover when you listen to some of the issues going on. Before I go back to the phone calls, let me share with you a little bit of what has been going on and some of the things even the likes of former Emir of Kano talked about the need for Nigerians and Nigeria to make some adjustments in terms of what it wants to and hopes to achieve in days to come. I'll take you through this just very quickly. Here's what former Emir Sanusi said, why Nigerians need to get their voters card. Take a listen to this.
This is Morning Crossfire.
We are not a political party, but we cannot fold our arms and ignore politics. Every member of Tijaniya who is 18 years old and above, male or female, go out and get a voter's card.
Good morning. This is Morning Crossfire.
So from the grassroots and even across the political parties and associations, there's a need to get the voters card. Looks like the number of people who may get to vote in the 2023 elections, maybe even higher than has been put up, if really people follow through with these instructions of getting your voters card. And I often wonder why that becomes quite a difficult thing to do, as one looks down the line to what may be the biggest restrictions around this. But here we go. Now, let me also say to you that the Bauchi State Governor felt it best to introduce motorcycles to vigilante groups in Bauchi as a way to monitor the activities and spy down the likes of terrorist bandits and other people in that area. Here's what he said about the reason why he gave up those bikes for them, to get their job done.
This is Morning Crossfire.
On what they are expecting from you, and you will have the opportunity to tell them your limitations, because our capabilities and capacities are limited by resources, and they should be given the opportunity to engage with you and better without any dilution by officialdom or bureaucracy. And I have interacted with all interest groups, the traditional institutions, the ulamas, the pastors, the youth, the women, even our political structure. We have been able to meet with them, discuss and understand. And we have discussed with even our quasi security organization. You have seen me on climbing and ice cream on corporate social responsibility. Out of my salaries, I discovered that they are not being given anything. I gave them 10 vehicles and 10 motorcycles, and one vehicle, and then I pledged to be giving them my salary every month so that they can afford it. With that, their morale has been boosted. And indeed, I'm very happy that I'm here because everybody is happy. It is not the amount of money you give, but the smile in your face and making yourself coming to their level and knowing that this is their son and this is somebody that they can identify with. And even the chairman of my party said what I have done has really made him realize that even our commissioners, our political appointees, will take a day or two for them to go and engage with their communities. They may not be able to do as much as I have done because of the limitation of resources, but the engagement is very, very important. And we are not doing this to deceive or delude anybody. It is not voting, we are not seeking for votes. We just want that communal feelings to be established so that at the end of the day, we are one people united by a common front that we want progress and development of our community, of our state, and of course of the nation.
What do you say about the
involvement of your communities for you to protest the next.
The community is divided. Some wants me to continue as a governor. Some want me to go for the presidency if possible. But what we have done is to tell them we should put everything to prayers. We are grateful at least they have appreciated what we have done so far, not only to them but to other corporate members of both states who have the hand in making me a governor, and that I should continue to deepen equity and justice in the dispensation or provision of amenities across the state, and that of course they are very proud of the little thing I have done, and they have nobody will come and cajole them and ridicule them in any way, because I have brought them out of the woods, I have made them proud, and that they know that what I'm doing is genuine, and of course irrespective of wherever I'm going, they are ready to go with me.
This is Morning Crossfire.
There you go, Bauchi State Governor there, saying, well, for me, his monthly salary will be dedicated to fueling the motorcycles and vehicles he gave to some of the vigilante groups across the state. He's going to be using his monthly salary as the provision and to buy fuel for them. He thinks his commissioners and all the government appointees should do the same. Bring forward your salary, bring forward your commitment, or in the list, go to the grassroots and let them know what we're doing and what they need to do in order to safeguard the state. And he thinks, he says it again, that it's not for any political vote or reason to vote. That is why he's doing what he's doing. Well, is this another technique in order to use to solicit the people and well considerably to fight off insecurity by providing motorcycles to vigilante groups to go through the villages and the many areas as we have it? Maybe, maybe not. Are there resources to follow through on that? I just wonder. All right. Let's take a look at some of your messages this morning. DSS invites Kuka. The world is watching the politicized professional body. Good morning, Femdi. As a guy from Cuba did write that in. Good morning, Femdi. DSS invitation to Bishop Kuka last week, it was Father Mbaka. And today is Bishop Kuka. If you know, then you understand. St. Jude from Gogolada did write that in. And then I also have one message from James from Guarnipa, who says, Femidi, good morning. What did DSS invite Reverend Father Matthew Kuka for? Why is the law working on some people? I guess that's what you meant to write. Why is the law working on some people and the same law is not being applied to others? Example, Sheikh Gumi. God bless Nigeria. James from Garipa did ride the team. Good morning, FMD. Good morning to all listeners. Happy 2022. May Nigeria be blessed with good leaders in 2023. New Liasu from Asuka did ride the team. Barisaza says, good morning. Carbon bombing is not the solution to banditry. Let us procure armed drones that will not only trace and pinpoint the locations of bandits in forests, but will also shoot them with the aid of remote control gun triggers. Special forces should be should thereafter storm the locations to finish the work that was started by armed drones. Habit bombing, as we saw in Vietnam, leads to long-term environment and ecological destruction. Thank you. That's according to Barristers and them. Elder Bosu from Yaya says, all this bombing may not stop as far as the APC government refuses to name and arrest the suspected Spencers. And then you also have Afsat, who says, good morning, everyone. My take on the death of Dr. Ahmed Buk, indeed a great scholar, both in religious and Western education. Our condolences to the family. Oh, yes, before I do forget again, let me reemphasize that for lots of the women who want to call in on the show, I will take call from women on WhatsApp. Please, I will take calls from women. Women low, not men pretending to be men. If I take your call and you happen to be a man, I will cut you off. So that you people not say that Femdi has come with the strict rules. Women should call WhatsApp line so that it's easier for you. But for men who call the WhatsApp line, as soon as I pick it and I hear hello, I would allow you off as well. Okay. All right, so let's keep up with your messages. Now, Emmanuel Future President says, all they're doing under this government is watching them. Have they ever invited Gumi that's been talking? Why inviting Kuka? God is not sleeping. All right. Good morning, FMD. Paul said we over 200 million Nigerian Sims. He forgot that very many of our fathers and mothers and daughters have been killed in recent times. Most recently, we have lost over 100 plus on Zafra to terrorism. May God save us all. Comrade Ogbadipo did write that in. Mommy Z says, oh, FMD, thank you for considering women. Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, please, sir. I've just started to INEC registration. Where can I register for my PVC? Adam Issa from Jabi in Abuja. I will leave that question for Fortune on what's happening in Abuja. We'll take that on so that you get the best of it. Laji Agba says, Nigeria, what a thankless country to be governed. If bandits are not being bombarded, when we, what's this, when we feast them, when we feast on Buhari for insecurity, or it becomes Buhari is pampering the others, bandits and terrorism in general. Now that bandits are taking the right treatment, is known as carpet bombing. Is Buhari so cheap to take orders from IPOP or the detention of Nnamdi Kanu leaders of the proscribed IPOP terrorists? Election is around the corner. Now that friends and lovers of the opposition are not missing in action, Sanusi Ozekwome are shouting from their comfort zones as if they are not influencing personal interests. Laji Agbas questions that. Sulaiman says, I agree with Sanusi, but the issue is, do we have such candidates with two key political parties in Nigeria, PDP and APC, allowed to file in a credible candidate that will deliver Nigeria? That's your question. The answer is no. Undecided to me, Tinubu and Atiku have no business in looking for presidency in 2023. About you people are asking for getting their PVCs to come election period. You will not find them. Many of them will sell their PVCs out to these bad politicians or sell it for a pack of salt. That's the bitterness of the truth. God bless Nigeria. Let's take on some calls quickly. I do have a lot to share with you as we go on the show. I'll take on three calls even now. Let's take those calls right now. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kennedy. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you on.
Thank you. It's Amale.
All right, Amale. Let's talk.
Thank you. Melafia has gone. Why the DSS has invited him. He has gone today, Bishop Kuka. They should continue. I don't know who usually pray up. Most of them, when they dead, they are grieved. Most of them, some of them are Christian, some of them are Muslim. Then I don't know who longer pray for them. The DSS do the needful for this country. There's a lot of people has been making such comments. Bishop Kuka is man of God. Sheikh Gumi is man of God. Sheikh Gumi has been going around to the banditry, talking to them. You never one day invited him. You never one day invited him. Justice is with you. But if you don't, I don't know who is your God. I don't know who is your God. Let's continue. Atiku said killing in Zamfara. The chief of army staff is crying. Osibanjo is celebrating with the army. They are doing the good thing. People have been dying. Kai, thank you.
All right, Tomale.
You should vote to come out and get your
thank you.
Especially.
Thank you, Tomale. Yeah, let's leave it at that, Tomale. Thank you so much for your contribution. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Papi.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. This is Kelvin calling for Gaiji.
Oh, good to have you on. Let's talk.
It's one time caller.
Oh, good to know. Where's that thing I used to shake before I start shaking for you? Yes, this is for you. Thanks for choosing to call in, okay? Kelvin.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear friend. Yes, go on.
The invitation from the DSS. Hello?
Yes, I'm with you, Kelvin.
Yeah, I said the invitation. Yes, sir. I don't really know the capture of the picture. Bishop and the pastor did.
Okay, so I will read out an excerpt of what Bishop Kuka said during his Christmas message that might have ended the invitation.
Okay.
Yes, I'll read out a part of it, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kelvin. Okay, one more call. Let me read a portion of his message for you. Good morning to you.
Good
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
Thank you. Fine, thank you. Well, you are doing a very good job.
I'm grateful to you, dear friend.
A compliment of the season to you, to Paul, Uncle Paul, and DG, and all the four listeners. I'm talking about the education of Kuka, Kennedy. We should not be so sentimental in this country. All of us are all Nigerians. Either Kuka, Guni, whoever, Kanu, we are all Nigeria. Everything DSS is for the good of the country. No, no DSS that is for Christian, no DSS for Muslim, no DSS for Northerner or Southerner. We should all embrace that if somebody commits an offense, he should be, you know, called to book. No matter what we are looking at this, I think we have passed that stage where people will be saying, this Guni from the, this Kuka from this religion. No, we have passed that.
Mm.
Whoever commits an offense should be called to order. Mm. We are all talking of a good governance, of a good Nigeria, of a, no religion, no tribe. All of us are answerable to God. That is what I'm trying to bring in the family.
I do hear you. It's just to make it clear, an invitation is not necessary that somebody has committed an offense. It's to inquire behind maybe the reasoning, the motive, and other details of what they might have said or done. So it may not be about an offense.
They want to get more information on what is to know the route they are to take. If you are inviting Kuka, maybe Kuka has made a very good statement that it needs to be elaborated by government to make proceed.
Mm.
Or maybe if Bumi has made anything that they want to, he has made a statement they want to extract from him to get a better thing. I think we should be looking positive for that angle.
Okay,
for
all right. That's one way to think about
Buhari,
it.
We don't want anything Buhari.
Aha.
Whatever he does, it is against Buhari. That is their problem.
Okay, thank you. Let's leave it at that with you. Let me get on to read a portion of what there were two main things or two main ideas Bishop Kuka was talking about on December 25. He was speaking in Sokoto during the Christmas message. There were two main ideas. I would just mention the two ideas and I'll read a portion of what he said. The two issues that really brought on the attention of Bishop Kuka to possibly any man invitation was he talked about the loss of lives and allocation of positions with favoritism and nepotism, which he believes is going on under Buhari administration. Let me read a quote of what he said, a portion of that. He said, "All what I have been clamoring for, and not personal, there are two issues that bother me with this administration. One is the quantum of loss of lives, and I don't think there's anybody who is happy about this. The second is the allocation of position with favoritism and nepotism. One thing lacking in this administration is the inability to manage our sense of diversity. I've always been a critic of government before this administration. I stand on my challenge to those who don't reason along with me to counter my position with superior argument. Nigerians are still to learn how to disagree on the disagreeable. We're still to learn how to debate without argument. And we're still to agree that some of our best friends are those that criticize us. Criticism is not abuse. It is what purifies democracy." So he talked about that, and then he went on to talk about a few other things. Another portion of that message of interest, by the way, in case you want to check it up, his Christmas message was titled, "A Nation Still in Search of Truth and Vindication." That's the title of the message. "A Nation Still in Search of Truth and Vindication." Now, Kuka went on to slam different people across Nigeria, Northern Britain, as he termed it. He talked about President Buhari being from the northern part of Nigeria and his government must quickly, here's a part of the quote that may have caused that invitation or may have led to the invitation. He said this, he said that the government needs to move quickly before, now listen to the quote carefully. This is the part of the quote that may have ended the invitation. Quote, "Before Arewa, our beloved Arewa, descends into our Arewanistan." Again, I say it, end of quote for that. "Before Arewa, our beloved Arewa descends into Arewani State. Now, by this he mentions, the cleric reminds Nigerians of how Afghanistan's takeover did happen in August 2021 by Islamic militant group the Taliban after the Americans withdrew their forces in that area, and all kinds of things happened. Let me read a little bit more of what he said again. He said, at about this time last year, when I raised the alarm about the perilous state of affairs in northern Nigeria, all kinds of accusations were levied against me, especially by my northern brethren. When the Catholic bishops protested openly against the killings of our people in March 2020, we were accused of acting against the government, religious motives being imputed to our noble intentions. Now we are fully in grip of evil. Today, a feeling of vindication only saddens me as I've watched the North break into a cacophony of quarrelsome blame games over our tragic situation. A catalogue of unprecedented cruelty has been unleashed on innocent citizens across the northern states. In their sleep, on their farmlands, in their markets, or even on the highway, innocent citizens have been moved down and turned into burnt offerings to gods of evil. Communities have been turned into gulags of misery, death, pain, and pedophy. We must move quickly before Arewa, our beloved Arewa, descends into Arewanistan. So there was a lot he said. Now, there was also the part of his teaching that he talked about. He said, the silence of the federal government only feeds the ugly beast of complicity in the deeds of these evil people who have suspended the future of the entire generations of our children. Every day, we hear of failure of intelligence, yet those experts who provide intelligence claim they have always done their duty diligently and efficiently. Does the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria not believe that he owns parents and citizens answers to where our children are and when they are coming home? Does the President of Nigeria not owe us an explanation and answers as to when the abductions, kidnappings, brutal, senseless, and endless massacres of our citizens will end? When will our refugees from Cameroon, Chad, or Niger return home? We need urgent answers to these questions. While I commend the efforts of our security men and women, I call on the President, in collaboration with the governors who are doing their best to preserve and protect their people, to develop a more honest, open, and robust strategy for ending the humiliation of our people and restoring social order to our people. We are burning enough humiliation as communities and as a country. So that's an excerpt of what Bishop Kuka preached about on December 25, 2021, which he titled "A Nation Still in Search of Truth and Vindication." My golden question to you today is this. With a part of what I have read, do you think that is ending an invitation either to provide clarity, to provide perspective, to provide context, or to provide content, to provide scope, to provide understanding, to provide insight into what he meant by some of the choice of his words? Possibly, what he meant when he said, beloved Arewa, and talked about Arewanistan. Now, you already know that that's a bridge way of seeing a little bit of Arewa and Afghanistan. Creating a new word called Arewanistan as that ending and invitation. And are there other people who have said a lot more mean things in the past, that really would put one on the edge or make one become, not very discomforted about comments as we have it in the past? Why the DSS invitation? Is it out of line for them to invite him? Or with this said, it is worthy of an invitation, as one would find. And hold on for it. Let me put a twist to this. Remember Sheikh Gumi, as some people have brought his name into the conversation. Sheikh Gumi was pretty much providing ideas as regards how to deal with bandits, terrorists, and the likes of them, and bandits and kidnappers. But in recent times, if a few weeks ago, he moved into a new position of things where, some of them did go on to kidnap his uncle and some of his relatives. And he said he's backing off in providing perspective as regards what the government should do or can do to engage or disengage with terrorist bandits, kidnappers. In other words, do you think now that he's not closely associated with bandits, kidnappers, in which, by the way, let me remind you, President Buhari says he's agreed now, there's a gazette that says the bandits, kidnappers are now terrorists. Do you think a DSS invitation from to Sheikh Gumi would provide insight into what he has known over the years and maybe many months as regards what Nigeria can do? Do you think it's about time that if you peradventure were talking to DSS, you'll be able to provide insight into where they walk, where the bandits it's terrorists, where the terrorists are, what they do? Now that they're known as terrorists, and their resources, possibly their sponsors, if he knows. Do you think invitation along this line to provide insight will be good? Or has he been invited in secret? That's also a possibility, you know, that he's been asked questions in secret without public knowledge that he's been invited. But if he has, and some of those findings have been found, if I would say it that way, permit me to say it that way, if some of those findings have been found, what has been done as such? Now, in Zamfara State, the governor had to go to the hospital recently to speak to people there, you know, and just make an attempt to see the people who have been hospitalized due to the run over by bandits and the likes of that. In fact, he was in the hospital late in the evening. He dressed up in camo. He spoke to some of the people there. And shortly after he had attended to some of the people there, he had the opportunity to explain what had gone on and his insight into this. I'd like you to take a listen to what the governor of Zamfara State said about this. Just very quickly, take a listen.
This is Morning Crossfire.
There is a operation that is ongoing along the Zaria Road in Zafi. And we have neutralized a lot of bandits, and some of our soldiers were being injured, so I came to see them because they conveyed them from that place to this private center. So we saw them, some of them are going to be operated. Alhamdulillah, all of them are okay. None of the soldiers were injured.
This is Morning Crossfire.
So that provides perspective into the hard work, if I would say, being put together by the Zamfara governor. But, bandits as terrorists, Northern Governors Forum, well, one of the leaders there would have to be the governor of Plateau State. He was speaking after visiting the president, who played out in the current affairs segment of the show. This is Morning Crossfire. Stay with me. I'll be back after now to provide you with more ideas, more leads, more clarity on a lot of issues, and I'll get to listen to you.
This is Nigeria Info.
We don't show open the gates. Now the paint police. Madam, they are here. That's the paint.
What is this? Didn't you see the big sick paint at the market? Please take this thing out of this place. You cannot paint my mansion with this. I need the big sea paint.
Oga contractor, how you come they do as if you don't know how far? Big sea paint, be the bunge paint where they rule for market. If you don't want to lose your contract, make you make sure, say, now big sea paint you carry the knack the better project. So, big sea paint get walls as in stucco paint, emulsion paint, antifungal paint, floor paint for sports, screening paint day, cellulose paint, road marking paint, concrete sealant gum, high quality mesh paint, oil paint, wood polish, and bond glue. Visit the Big Sea Paint and Chemical Industry Limited for plot 2988 Zone E Extension at Police Settlement, FCC Abuja, or for plot 56 in Suka Street off Lagos Street, Gariki Village, Abuja. You fit Gringring them for 0802-559-4359 or 0803-590-2515. Big Sea Paints, don't get Mancap certificate. Big Sea Paints, sound on and dust sound.
Today is a good day. A good day to take a walk. A good day to reach for your goals. A good day to finish reading that book. A good day to connect with your friends while doing the things you love. A good day to shoot your shot. A good day to enjoy life to the fullest with Malta Guinness.
Malta Guinness. Enjoy a world of good.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations made of trustworthy ideas passionately connected to everyone. Let's talk a Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
A great talk show unravels your thinking, makes you stop to listen, engages you in a debate of opinions.
I believe this man knows what he is doing. He is a Nigerian.
And ultimately brings you to the king of talk radio, Femi D. Live.